Hi, and welcome to another Monkey Gaming podcast. Today we are discussing the accessible game for iOS, which is called A Dark Room. And the developer of A Dark Room is Amir Ajin, I think his name is, or Amir Ajin. Apologies if I've not pronounced your second name correctly there, Amir. With me today I have James, and we have both played this game. I've played it using voiceover. James have played it from a totally sighted person's point of view. Mm-hmm. And I'm just going to tell you right now, if I could just do my wee bit, James, here.
By all means, of course.
Because I need to get the bit out of the way that I'm comfortable with. This is going to be the hardest podcast I think I have ever done. I don't know if all will become clear or not. I'm so confused. A Dark Room, right? I'm going to start off by trying to explain it. There's four different gaming elements to this. I think a lot of it is RPG based, but then you've also got elements in the game of simulation. You've also got, I think, as you explore the game, you're going to end up doing some sort of, there's going to be elements of text adventure throughout the game, and there's also game book elements in the game. Are you confused already? I am.
I am extremely confused. But I was confused before I came in today. It's just my natural state. Don't worry about it.
I've never played a game where...
It's unusual, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, because like the storyline, and I use the term loosely, and that's in a good way saying that the storyline is like you're building a village or you're building an economy. I'm not quite sure how best to describe it. And that's about as far as I can explain the story. Help me out, James, please.
Building a society, maybe?
Do you think that's... You wonder how far the building in it goes, don't you? Are you building a world? Are you building... The stage I'm at...
A universe? Where does it end?
That would be interesting. It's a universe, wouldn't it? It's insane. Because it's like... You know, in the app description, because it reminds me a wee bit of King of Dragon Pass, some of the game elements to this, where, you know... You've got like a tribe eventually, you know, you've got like a tribe of settlers eventually in the game, and you know, you've got decisions that you have to make, wood gatherers, and you know, it seems very olden days style at the current part of the game I'm currently at. Oh, I'm so confused.
Yeah, actually, so the gameplay is basically you manage resources.
Yeah, that's
some of which are people, some of which are things.
Yeah,
and you build structures.
Yes, based on your resources.
Yeah, and you structure people. You know, so you can build lodges and stuff. You can set traps.
Yeah, to kill animals, and that's why it reminds me of King of Dragon Pass, because it's essentially it's a resource management game. That's why I mentioned the word building an economy, because it's like you're using what resources you have to influence the gameplay, I suppose, James, isn't because it's like you start off and I suppose the hub of the game, which is you're in a dark room, aren't you? You know, that's where...
So that's where it comes from.
A dark room is like that is the hub, that is the base, the essential point of the game. It's the focal point. There you go. It's the focal point of the game. So I'm on a roll this morning.
You are.
But you wake up there, and all you've got round about you is you've got some wood, and for some reason you've got a fire that is flickering and about to die. And for some reason, I don't know why, I just didn't want that fire to go out. So right away, I put more wood on the fire, and then all of a sudden, you know, I got a pop-up saying, the fire is roaring. So to me, that means, oh, good, I'm in a nice, warm, well-lit room now. And then the game just goes completely insane from there. Because I've got no idea in the game what I'm doing.
Yeah, it's a good simulation of real life in that way, isn't it? We're kind of all just wandering through the woods, lost.
That's what it's like. It's like I'm exploring the game and I'm just unlocking things willy-nilly, and I've just no idea how I've came, because at the moment I've got like in my village there's about 59, you know, people in it, and I've got people, you know, out working, they're building huts, they're gathering wood, they're curing meat, you know, for roasting, they're setting traps for animals, and I've just got no idea how I've gotten to that stage.
They're kind of like, so the disparate story elements, there's like you're sometimes presented with scenarios, aren't you? Like,
yeah.
There are strange rustling noises out in the woods. What
yes.
do you do? Like, do you go
and it's
check
like,
it out, or do you not go and check it out?
Exactly. That's like the decision element of it, you know, the game book element, and I usually investigate it, and it's like, but what happens is it's like it's some sort of animal, you don't know what it is, but it seems to be stealing some of my stuff. Did you notice that it was stealing
yes.
some of my wood? And wood to me is like the essential, it's like money in a dark room, if you ask me, because
it's one of the key resources, isn't it?
If I think so, because if you don't have wood, you can't build traps, you can't build huts, because like huts are really essential, because the more huts you build in your village, the more people come to live in it, you know, because they've got more accommodation. But yeah, if I could just quickly go back to like, on the app store, did you look at the app description?
Not in detail.
Well, there's not much detail to look at, because, you know, with King of Dragon Pass, you're building, you know essentially that you have to control your tribe, and your ultimate goal in King of Dragon Pass is to become king of all the world, basically. In a dark room, I have got absolutely no idea whatsoever of what I'm even working towards. You know, I've no idea what the goals are, I've no idea what the objectives are, I'm just, pardon the pun, I'm just blindly feeling my way through this game with no idea.
I'd be interested to know which of those two approaches, Stuart, you prefer, whether you enjoy more the direct, channeled, sort of goal-oriented style of game, or you prefer the sandbox, you know, you're left to your own device to see what you can make of it style.
Well, before I would have said, you know, the King of Dragon Pass style where, you know, you've got your end goals, you know, and like, or, you know, a Blind Legend where, you know, your goal in that is to save your wife and what have you, you know, you know your
just
end.
Casually beat your daughter.
Yeah, exactly. And
plot spoiler.
but, you know, you've got an end in sight, you know, and every game I played up until A Dark Room, I knew what the end goal was. You know, you knew what the challenge was.
Mm-hmm.
When I've played this, as I say, it's just... And Amir Ajin has actually, the developer, has deliberately done this, because this game actually... People, I think, love this type of game. This game is going to, you know, rear its head more and more, because it was number one for weeks in the App Store, and for a text-based game like this, I mean, is there any pictures in the game, James? Is it all just...
No, there's just a basic menu.
It's just
UI.
Text, yeah. And for a text game, you know, that and Lifeline, A Dark Room and the game Lifeline are the only two that I know of that have took the App Store by storm in terms of text game. I don't think even King of Dragon Pass took the App Store. Please correct me if I'm wrong, somebody, but...
Well, it's interesting, isn't it? Because King of Dragon Pass is, correct me if I'm wrong, but wasn't it ported to mobile?
Yes,
wasn't it
yes.
originally
it was
older
a PC game.
PC game?
Yeah.
And so by virtue of having been an old PC game, it's a lot more complex, whereas Lifeline and A Dark Room, they're both fairly simple in terms of mechanics. You know, there's the method of interaction is quite clear, especially Lifeline. You've got two options. That's it. Yes or no, left or right, you know, up or down.
That's basically that, you know, just at all depending on Lifeline, on somebody's survival. And A Dark Room is quite complex, but not, as you say, Jay, the navigation is so easy in terms of A Dark Room. And what this game was actually completely inaccessible to start with for...
That's a surprise to me. I'm surprised to hear
it that. It was. And the developer was contacted, and I use VoiceOver, so when I even double tap on A Dark Room to open it, as soon as I open it, it knows that VoiceOver is on. I don't know how, but it knows VoiceOver's on, and it brings up an automatic help menu right away, and it tells you, like, you know how you've got the buttons? Like, there's the stoke fire button.
Yes. Yeah.
And you've got the build button, where you go to, you know, build your new things.
Your huts and such.
Your huts, yeah. Your equipments and what have you. And you've got the forest. In the beginning of the game, you've got a forest where you go to get the wood. So it'll tell you in the help menu, it tells you right away, like, the forest button's in the top middle of the screen. The build button is in the middle left of the screen. The stoke fire button is on in the bottom right of the screen.
So it tells you which position so
it actually tells you the position. And I thought, that is fun. What a great wee...
That's cool, isn't it?
And
that's not a normal feature.
No. No, it's the only game I've ever... I think it's really quite innovative.
Yeah.
Actually, I was so impressed. And the more buttons that, you know, as you go through the game and you're, you know, it's like interweaving, you know, stories and all the rest that appear and all the, but you know how you, like you get a multitude of buttons. Again, if you know that that help button, if you could find that help button on the screen and double tap it, again, it's going to tell you exactly where all your new buttons are on your screen. And I just thought, what a great wee.
So you don't, I mean, you don't necessarily need that information, though, right? Because you're able to cycle through the menu.
You can cycle through it if you want, but if you do want to use the explore gesture and create a mind map, basically, I liked actually creating a mind map of where all the buttons were, and the mind map was constantly changing as the game progressed.
Yeah.
But it was just a great wee. So, and it's not you know, like with King of Dragon Pass. You can, you've got like a, you've got a 40-50 page manual.
Yeah.
All you've got on this, all he's telling you in the help thing is, right, as I say, the stoke fire button's in the bottom of the screen. The build button, top middle of the screen. That's all he's telling you, and then it's basically up to you to find out what these buttons do. All he's giving you is a layout of the screen.
Would you ever actually literally just like tap the buttons themselves, like memorise the location and then like use that?
That's all, yeah, or as I, you use the, what he said was basically use swipes and double taps to, he actually tells you this in the help manual, he says just use swipes and double taps to scroll and select items. You know, you don't actually need to keep going in to the help menu. It's just, I was so confused by the lack of, you know, direction. If that sounds kind of negative, doesn't it? The lack of direction. I don't mean that to sound negative. It's just
not
the way the game's
negative.
Yeah, it's just the way the game's set up, and it, you know, it's deliberately. Ami Rajan has deliberately left the app store description as vague as it could possibly be. I think because he wants you to. It's almost like, you know, I feel like Christopher Columbus a wee bit on the game. It's
exploring,
like it's a journey
lands.
Of discovery. You know, exploring new situations and new lands and.
And that's a really valuable feeling, isn't it, for a game to be able to give you, because especially when so many of them are so by the numbers and so dominated by cliché, you know what to expect in so many of them. But then when there's one that kind of manages to grab your curiosity and make you actually wonder what's going to happen, it's a powerful moment.
Yeah, I mean, and I don't mean to keep referring to King of Dragon Pass, but you know, there were unexpected things in King of Dragon Pass. But as I say, you know, I knew that what my end goal was, you know, and the unexpected things were great, you know. But with A Dark Room, as I say, I've got this feeling of almost trepidation playing it, and that's a sign of a good game, isn't it? It's really going into my head. You can tell that, isn't it? But I've got this feeling of trepidation because I don't know if I'm doing something wrong. I've no direction. I've nothing to guide me. It's just, as I say, it's a journey of exploration, and I'm just worried that as soon as I double tap, something's going to jump out and almost, you know, could wipe my village out. The true game. But do you know the game actually? Did you get to the bit where, you know, I've built my village, right? But it's like the game is pushing me to explore. It's pushing me to leave my village. Did you find that?
Uh-huh.
And I don't want to. I don't want to. I don't want to see the big bad world.
You just want everyone to stay safe.
Yeah, and that's it. I want everybody to stay, and I just want to keep building my huts. I just want to keep, you know, working my people to the bone and just... But, you know, in all seriousness, I'm terrified to leave this village, and I've actually begun packing. You end up, you know, as you go through the game, you end up unlocking this thing called new technology. And it's like, new technology, what it means is it's still very primitive. So it's like, wow, you can now make torches, you know. And as soon as I made a torch for the first time, you know, in my wood and my metals, you know, I was using, you know, you're still using resources to make your equipment. And then as soon as I made the torch, this woman came up to me and went, "Oh, wow, we're making torches. This is going to be really useful for exploring caves." And I went, "Oh, my God.
This is going to be really useful for exploring dark dungeons.
I am terrified because I don't know what's out there and I don't want to know."
This will be really good when the zombies invade, boss.
But there could very well be zombies. There could be zombies. There could be, I think there's going to be monsters. Yeah, some kind of pass and possibly duck people.
Maybe duck people, who knows. Probably slaughter them on sight.
They will be speared and cured by my curers for roasting.
This is going to sound a little unusual to people who are just listening to this podcast, but listen to the Dragon Pass.
Yeah, ding ding, King of Dragon Pass, podcast 11, King of Dragon Pass, as I've named
all
it.
All will become clear.
Will become clear, but it does have a lot of similarities, and it's just, I just find it, I think that you're going to end up, I believe, once, you know what, like if you explore games, you know, once you decide to take the plunge and leave the village, I think you end up, and this is where the text adventure element of the game ends up, I think you're going to end up in some sort of map. And I wonder how easy that map is going to be for a voiceover user to navigate. It shouldn't be a problem. It's just, as I say, I'm terrified to leave my settlement.
Mm-hmm.
But I wonder, if I keep building my settlement, I wonder if it's going to get too big, and it might be that, I wonder if the game's actually going to push me out of the settlement itself.
It might just be that you stop progressing.
That I stop
progressing. Unless you go out and gather the cave moss or whatever.
Yeah, I don't know. I wonder if there's treasure out there that we've to get.
Maybe. It's a distinct possibility. I hear caves are very good locations to find treasure in.
So have you not explored either? Have you not gone
I think I've gone pretty much to the same place you did.
I think so, yeah. But you're not terrified to leave your, you know, you are you quite
I mean,
happy
I exist
to?
In a state of terror from day to day, Stuart. So right. the game is neither here nor there. Do you know what it kind of reminds me of? I was playing, when I first got my current phone, I do this whenever I upgrade phones, and I kind of go on a spree of downloading like any game there is, like just, you know, a whole bunch, and then I play them for a few hours and then forget completely.
Yeah.
But one game in a genre I'd never played before, I can't remember what it's called, but it's a clicker game. Have you ever heard of those?
Aye. Yeah.
And it's like, so basically, you're presented with a monster on the screen, right? And you have like a hero or a character or whatever.
Uh-huh.
And you tap, and your guy attacks the enemy.
Yeah.
And however many times you do it is however many attacks you get.
Yeah.
And then you get a stronger guy who does more damage. And then you get a stronger guy who does more damage. And then you get a guy who automatically attacks.
Oh.
And so he's doing it like once a second. So you're still tapping away, but now every one time a second, he's getting an extra hit in. And then you get another guy who's doing 10 a second, and then your regular tap attack is much stronger than the next guy. Then you get another guy and so on. And basically, the monster's hit points always go up, but you're always getting more damage and like more clicks per second. And eventually it goes into like tens of thousands, or that's where I got to, but like, I'm sure millions or whatever.
Very
and it's constantly about upgrading these numbers and getting more stuff. But also the enemies' numbers are going up all the time, and they're getting more stuff. So really, the power balance is rarely shifting. And so the only progress you're making in those games is the number that you see on screen, which is very, I think, psychologically manipulative. Now, A Dark Room isn't, you know, as base as that, because it has a lot of other elements.
Yeah.
But it does remind me of the, you know, the getting more, and then what? Well, the next stage is to get more. And the next stage is to get more.
Yeah, it's like you're wanting more and more, and, you know, it's like, the, you know, I was quite actually even startled at the pace my village was growing as well. You know, it's like, I don't know how to control all these people.
Mm-hmm.
And what I really liked was, though, as well, as we say, it's about resource management. And you know how you can do, like, you can assign loads of hunters, you can assign, say I've got, like, I think I've got 50 people or some in my village, and all of them, I could have every single one of them doing a different kind of task. You know, I could, like, have 15 hunters, 10 trappers, you know, 25 builders, whatever it was. But I ended up, I needed more wood. I needed people to gather, wood gatherer is another option as well. So I needed people to go out and get me more wood to build more things, you know, because wood is still, as I say, it's like at the moment, at the part of the game I'm at, it's like my money, I think of it that way. So I ended up, I took all my hunters away from hunting. I think I only had maybe 3 hunters to hunt animals, and then all the rest of them were away gathering wood. And all of a sudden, and I think this is because I reduced my hunters, all of a sudden, this pop-up came up, and it was like these beasts had attacked my village, and they started killing all my tribe. So I had the decision, do you want to fight, or the beasts drive them away, or do you want to vacate the forest? And I thought, well, I've just bumped all this up, I'm not vacating it. So I ended up driving them away, but I took a lot of damage. So there's like, you know, the role-playing game, it's not hit points, but it's like your tribe's been kind of decimated.
Yeah.
And I think it's the only part of the game where I think I know that why I've made the mistake that I have, because it's because I took the hunters away and I was letting, obviously, more animals are roaming free.
So do you think you got too greedy for the resources? You know, if you,
I think I got
more
too
defense.
Greedy, yeah. And then what happened was the beasts had more, the animals had more freedom, and they've attacked, which it leaves a lot to your imagination. I think that's what's happened, but I can't be...
Okay.
You know, at least with King of Dragon Pass, you know, say like I make a bad decision in King of Dragon Pass, I knew where I'd went wrong. With this, I've just no idea if I'm going wrong, or I think I'm going to end up... I bet you the amount of people that's had to restart this game is unbelievable.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure.
The developer actually admits that it's like Zork. I wonder if anybody's ever completed Zork, you know, just...
Can you complete it? I'm not sure. Does it have a finished...
This is the thing.
Ending?
Can you complete a dark room? Because I actually... The developer even admits that it is really, really difficult to actually complete the thing. So, you know, that reminds me a wee bit of Zork. In a way, you know, can you complete Zork? I've no... So I won't play it, and I won't end up... You've got to explore eventually. You know, I won't have to do it to see what happens, but I just don't want to lose the game when I've sort of built up this family.
You get so invested
sort of,
in it, don't you?
Yeah.
It kind of becomes a responsibility.
But I'm intrigued to see where it goes, but I tell you right now, I've played hours of the game, and I don't think there's any end. I think I've actually just scratched the surface of the game. I think.
And then the next 2 moves you make end it, and you finish it.
As soon as I explore, something's going to bite me. I know there's something, or because you know, when you're making equipment, you've got a bag of equipment you can take with you, and I don't know that I'm packing the right equipment to go with. You know, should I take a lot of meat? Should I take a lot of weapons? Should I take, you know, do I take a lot of torches? But I don't know what's out there. You know, water as well, water skins, how much water skin? So I suppose food and water are the essentials, but then what if I meet a dead enemy? I know for a fact I'm going to be exploring caves, so I'm going to have to take torches. And I just thought, you see what, do I sound confused doing this podcast?
It's interesting that it kind of encourages you to be planning ahead for events that may not
That's
even
what
occur.
It done, though.
It helps you feel immersed by sort of restricting the amount of information you have. Because if it was just like, okay, yeah, boss, now we're going to go to this cave and do A, B, C, and then come back and then have, you know, sausages for dinner, and then we're going to go into the ocean and fight Poseidon or whatever. So you wouldn't be as interested in the narrative.
It's not doing
so
that at all.
It wouldn't be up to you to explore it for yourself. You know, the mystery is kind of... gone. So no, I completely understand where you're coming from there.
Yeah, I mean, it's not doing that at all. It is basically everything you do is of... It's like it's giving you the tools and you just do what you want with them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like a free-for-all. It's no... I don't know how it's came up with it. the guy's actually a genius, I think, this guy.
It's a very clever idea, and what I like about it is that it does kind of shirk a lot of the modern conventions, where nowadays, especially in mobile games, like, we're so handheld all the time. You know, there'll be, like, 10 dialogue boxes telling you exactly what
it's
to
rammed
do.
In your throat, kind of, isn't
it? There'll be a tutorial, and then, yeah, but this game is, you know, it's low-key, it's cool, it doesn't...
Yeah, there is no tutorial with this game. All you've got is the help button, which is... useful as it can be, put it that way, you know, in terms of mind mapping out your screen. This game's only £1.49, by the way, and it's worth every you know, penny of the £1.49. The value,
149 pence.
Yeah, exactly. He has, now I wouldn't recommend you play this if you haven't already played A Dark Room, but he has got a prequel to A Dark Room called The Ensign. It has a prequel called The Ensign, which is made fully accessible with voiceover. Now, I've played it, and to me, he recommends in the description that you play A Dark Room first, and I can see why, because with The Ensign, you are thrown in at the deep end. You know, you automatically open up in some sort of map, and I found that quite tricky. Because, you know, I thought that being a prequel, right, I better play that first before, I play a Dark, I came out very quickly and I thought, no, I'm going to play A Dark Room.
Well, that's kind of annoying, isn't it? Because you would assume that you'd play chronologically.
Well, to be fair, he brought a Dark Room out first, so, you know, I actually don't mind playing A Dark Room, and I think, you know, the Ensign, I think it maybe been the direction on the map I took, I don't know, but I didn't know what I was doing.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't know what to do in my Dark Room either, but I know why I didn't know what I was doing with the Ensign now, because, I've played A Dark Room now.
So it kind of assumes a high level of knowledge.
I would recommend, the Ensign's good as well. I won't talk about the Ensign too much, but as I say, it's a prequel, and, you know, if you like A Dark Room, you'll like the Ensign, and definitely play, even if you don't complete A Dark Room, just even if you start building your village or something, and then have a wee look at the Ensign. I think it's, and again, you're not going to, I just don't know how you can complete the Ensign. It is huge, like A Dark Room.
Interesting. I'll be interested to check it out after I'm done with A Dark Room however many decades.
We'll be in our 80s.
If it does end, in fact.
No, we're going to be in our 80s and
bad
stuff.
Bad business
later.
To release a sequel to a game that doesn't end, though. So.
I'll be phoning James up. Have you played A Dark Room today, James?
I'll have completely forgotten everything.
What's A Dark Room?
Who is this?
We have lost it again. Just while it's on my mind, he has another game called A Noble Circle. Don't buy it because it's not accessible. I made the mistake.
Just like straight to the point, just don't buy it.
Yeah, and I can see why it's not. It's like visual. It's like you're this wee man, and you're like a jumper. So you're like jumping through different logs, and so you can see
like
the visual.
Like Frogger,
you know,
or something.
Yeah, it's like the alligator game, is, you know, where you're jumping from like lily pad to lily pad. There's a lot more to it than that, but just. It's not accessible. I've tried the free version, and it doesn't. It's too. I think if you could have made it accessible, it would. But it's the visuals are just too.
So there's a free version and a paid version of that.
Yes,
one.
Of A Noble Circle. Yeah,
oh, that's good. Then.
But just
that
don't
you're
bother
not,
with.
You're not sort of suckered into buying a game that you can't play.
Well, thankfully, hopefully, you know, if he does make more games, though, I hope that they're going to be accessible.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that game. I don't think it could be made, so, you know, it's not that I'm getting at the developer at all, but the fact that he's made A Dark Room completely accessible, and he's completely built voiceover into the game. I don't know whether he's had to redesign his gaming engine to do it.
I'd be interested to know if he is using for like a menu based game like this. Do you use a game engine, or is it just like a program?
I wonder if it's a program, because like choice of games, you know, like they've got like a very, very simple text program, you know, they're at a game book, all text based, no pictures or graphics. And actually, I could go into their website now and I could actually write a text adventure game on their website and submit it for, you know, as an app.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you could do it, I could do it, anybody listening could do it. So I wonder if he's using a gaming engine then, because he seemed to have just developed VoiceOver into the game in a matter of months of getting contacted.
Yeah, I'd be interested to know how he made the game, actually.
That's a really, really interesting. I might, he's on Twitter as well, so I might tweet him.
If he made the game, you know, without a third-party engine or anything, which I think he probably did,
It
would be interesting to know how difficult it was to implement the VoiceOver compatibility.
Yeah, I don't know that it's probably... I don't think it's been that difficult, because I think the game is so much text-based that he's probably done it within, you know, as I say, a couple of months. I don't think he's found it that... Once he knew how VoiceOver worked, you know, and he went right through the manual, but it's in there, you know, because it mentioned swipes and double taps, and, you know, so he knows what he's doing. With King of Dragon Pass, I think that was maybe a bit more tricky because of King of Dragon Pass, there's graphics and there's sounds, and you know, you hear horses galloping and caravans trundling along and all that. So that might have been a wee bit more difficult, but because this game is so text based, I don't think it's even going to be an issue. There's a game called Black Bar, which is a text adventure game where I don't think they even had to worry about implementing VoiceOver. I think it was because the game design they used, it was just implemented already. You know, it just seemed to work with the design of the game. So I think it comes down to, like, design of the game. And I suppose gaming engines, doesn't it, James? Mm-hmm. You know, the gaming engine is a big thing, isn't
especially
it?
Especially for the bigger games. And, I mean... I'd imagine at some point, you know, some of the more popular ones like Unity will have VoiceOver compatibility sort of as a baseline for their text-based.
Well, I live in hope. I don't seem too optimistic, I know, but I just, you know, we'll just
happen.
Have to see.
I mean, technology is moving ahead, isn't it? I mean, eventually we're going to have software that can just be fed an image and then describe it, you know, tell you what's happening. I mean, you showed me an app on your phone.
Which is almost, you know, basically you take a picture and it feeds it back to a massive database of images. So
and
the technology
analyzes the elements of the photo. And
God knows how it does it, but
that's clever. That's really clever.
Yeah. As you say, Jake, that actually ties in nicely with the advancements in technology.
Yeah,
doesn't it?
And it's gonna happen. I think it's gonna blow us away when it does. But
I think so. And again, all we need as developers to keep us in mind, you know, that's our next kind of what we're going to be trying and pushing now, James, isn't it? We're going to, excuse my Apple Watch, we're going to be talking to Blizzard, who are a developer, and another couple who I've forgotten the names of.
Valve.
And Jam? No,
Mojang.
That's shocking. All we wrote them down 10 minutes ago. Oh, apologies. So, you know, we've got a lot of we've got a lot of good work to do for...
Yeah, hopefully we'll... obviously we don't expect to single-handedly change the face of the gaming landscape, but it'd be nice to start even a limited dialogue with these companies, you know?
Yeah.
Even to get a response of any kind, I think, would be interesting.
Yeah, which we are in the process of now doing, thanks to James giving me these developers that he thinks are, you know, the best options, basically, aren't they?
I think Blizzard in particular are a good option for a number of reasons.
So I get anybody listening to this, even just get in touch with them yourselves, you know, not just leave up to us, but, you know, by all means, that the more voices that they hear, the better our chances are, I suppose.
Yeah.
I suppose we better get back to A Dark Room and just quickly finish off, but, I mean, would you recommend A Dark Room, James?
Yeah, I would. I think it's an interesting game. I mean, it's not, you know, extreme. It's not, you know, the most engaging story, obviously, because it's very sparse when it comes to that. But I think it's definitely worth trying out because the elements that it does use... quite minimalistically come together well. It's a satisfying game, I would say.
And I mean, I know people don't like it, okay? I do know that people don't. I'll tell you now, I'm not one of them. I really like it. But there are people that don't like it because they don't know what they're supposed to be doing. But to me, That's what made it fun. All right, I didn't know what I was doing, you know. And you were the same with King of Dragon Pass, weren't you? You were just sort of going through the menus and tapping on things. And
yeah, I was like a dog at the controls of a helicopter.
As we say, yes, yep. Was that Charlie Brooker?
Oh, that's Charlie Brooker, yeah.
Yes, I remember that for
it's
the podcast.
One of my favourites to break out whenever I can.
Yeah. I like that, James. That's it in another podcast now. He's getting there. But yeah, I mean, the fact that I didn't know what I was doing didn't, because I was actually interested to see, oh, what am I going to uncover next? You know, what happens if I tap this button? What happened? You know, it wasn't a drawback for me that I didn't know what I was doing at all. It was in the end sign, but because the end sign was a bit more complex right from the start. But as I say, you know, play a dark room. If you like it, I would definitely go for the ensign, and I would definitely recommend a dark room as well. And apologies if I have sounded slightly confused in this podcast. It's just the nature of the game we're discussing, I think, as such. But you'll know what I mean when we play it. We are on Twitter, by the way, so if you tweet us at MonkeyGamingFSB, and I would be quite interested to hear your opinion. And I think the fact that we've done a podcast on a dark room says something, James, because I looked and I can't find anybody else that's even attempted this.
Oh, really?
So, you know, even on things like Apple Viz, there's not a podcast, because you really can't instruct people how to play it, can you? So
I mean, there might be like an optimal strategy, I guess, if people have min-maxed it all, and like If you've gone through from start to finish, you can be like, so and so. But in terms of actually realistically saying,
you're like Christopher Columbus exploring. But I know, I mean, right, don't let your hunters decrease to such a level that
animals come and eat everyone.
And build, the other piece of advice is build as much, not as much traps as you can, but there's animals that are coming into my, were coming into my village and stealing things. There's something was doing it, so I've set hundreds more traps out to try and stop, you know, thieves, basically. So, you know, try and build as much traps as you can, and then when you get to a point where you need to build other things like huts and weapons and that, just, you know, do it at your own, in your own time as the best, you know, just go with the flow. Basically, that sounds a cop out.
That is good advice for pretty much any situation, Stuart.
Well, yeah.
That should be the tagline on this podcast, go with the flow.
It should be a tagline on the Dark Room app description, just go with the flow. I mean, it just.
Go with the flow and don't let your villagers get eaten.
Don't let them get killed by beasts and try and hold on to your wood is another option. You know, get as much wood as you can, because as I say, wood is like money to me in the game at the moment. But I'll be intrigued to.
Which do you
happens.
Value more in the game, the wood or your villagers?
The wood.
Why am I not surprised?
What a silly question, James. On that note, I'll just round the podcast off, unless there's anything you want to...
No, I think that's pretty comprehensive. Again, I'd recommend it as well. You know, it's interesting.
Yes.
Go with the flow.
Apologies, we can't be more specific about it. It's just the type of game it is. And as I say, tweet us if you've got any thoughts on the game. I'd be very interested to know what you think of it. On that note, thank you very much again for listening to our Monkey Gaming podcast, and we'll be back soon with some more content.
See you later. Bye.